Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 11, 2022, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood, gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have preserved for us the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that manna from heaven, that spiritual food that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. We are in the last half of 1 John chapter 3, and from 1 John 3:10b, that's where it starts, to the rest of the last half of chapter 3 and all of chapter 4, the Apostle John gives the most in-depth teaching on virtue, love, in the God-breathed Scriptures. 1 John 3:10b to verse 15, we have what virtue, love is not, or the illustration of the necessity for having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And then in 1 John 3:16 to 18, we have what virtue love is. 1 John 3:10b. Anyone who does not do righteousness, that means advance to spiritual maturity and produce grace righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue. He absolutely is not a student or disciple of God, nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. Verse 11, because this is the command, which command you have heard from the beginning, that we, all believers, should love one another. This is impersonal love for all the royal family of God. 1 John 3:10b is extremely important and emphasizes that there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness, which is a synonym for spiritual maturity. When you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and advance to spiritual maturity, another term for spiritual maturity is grace righteousness. All believers have imputed righteousness, but only the spiritually mature believer has grace righteousness. And 1 John 3:10b emphasizes that there is a very close relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all is the overt manifestation of grace righteousness in your soul. Grace righteousness is the believer operating by the royal family honor code. He has sacred honor, integrity, virtue in his soul, which enables him to have impersonal love for all. This relationship between grace righteousness and impersonal love for all can only exist in the life of the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This command to love one another with impersonal love was taught by our Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. And John was there when Jesus Christ was teaching this, and John totally got it. Nobody got it like he did. That's why we have chapter 3, 1 John 3, 1 John 4, the most in-depth study on virtue love in all of the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ taught this in John 13, 34 and 35, and John 15, verses 12 and 17. Impersonal love emphasizes the subject, the one doing the loving, as having grace righteousness. And that is, the subject has and lives his life on the principles of sacred honor, virtue, integrity for all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We don't have that many good. We got a lot of bad and ugly. Impersonal love means you are free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. Impersonal love emphasizes the character of the subject, the grace righteousness of the one doing the loving. And this is in contrast to personal love, which emphasizes the attractiveness of the object. Impersonal love is the believer living the spiritual life and operating by the royal family honor code, in contrast to the believer living his life in the darkness of Satan's cosmic system. You cannot produce impersonal love for one another when you are living in Satan's cosmic system. There is no virtue, no virtue in the cosmic system. You cannot love one another with impersonal love when you have mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, hatred, bitterness, jealousy, when you judge and slander and malign your fellow believer. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And John taught us this already. He was getting us primed for it in 1 John 2. 1 John 2 verse 5 when he gave us, if anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, that is the mandates of the word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in him, in his heart. And by this we know that we are abiding in him, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. You see, here we have 1 John 2:5, two of the Apostle John's favorite words he uses over and over and over and over again, and that is agape, A-G-A-P, long E. That's the noun for virtue love. Also the verb agapao, to love one another with virtue love. That's his favorite word. We're going to have it almost every verse here in the next chapter and a half. And then, and that's what we have here in 1 John 2:5. If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the agape to theou, the virtue love of God, has truly been brought to completion in him. So this is his first word, that his favorite he uses again. This, he's the expert on it. He gives the most in-depth study on virtue love. And the other word is meno. M-E-N long O. Translated, abide, reside. This is the special word that the Apostle John uses to describe living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And he uses this verb, meno, to abide, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, more than anybody else, any other of the writers of the New Testament. So meno, live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. You do that, you're going to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Virtue love is made up of three problem-solving devices. So here's virtue love. Three problem-solving devices. It includes personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father, that is the motivational virtue of virtue love. That has to be developed first. As you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you start out as a spiritual baby, and then you grow up and become a spiritual adolescent, and then you reach spiritual adulthood. And as you reach spiritual adulthood, the first part of virtue love that's developed is personal love for God the Father. That comes first. And then that motivates the second part of virtue love, impersonal love for all, and that's the functional virtue. Personal love for God the Father motivates, I'm getting a little excited. And I'm losing my voice. I'm not using my diaphragm. I'm supposed to use the muscles in my stomach. And stop using the muscles in my throat. I don't have that much muscles anywhere, but anyway. And then third, occupation with Jesus Christ. And the other side of the coin of that, sharing the happiness of God. Personal love for God the Father motivates impersonal love for all mankind. This is going to be described very well in 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If you hate your fellow believer, mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue, then you have no personal love for God the Father. If you really had personal love for God the Father, it would motivate you to manifest impersonal love for your fellow believer. all fellow believers. If you have no impersonal love for your fellow believer, then whom you have seen, then obviously you have no personal love for God the Father, whom you have not seen. The mandate for the royal family is that the one who has personal love for God the Father is to manifest impersonal love for his fellow believer. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Remember, personal love emphasizes the object. God, when God is the object, God is perfect. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Personal love for God is the motivational virtue for the spiritual life. That is what motivates you to execute God's mandates. Personal love as a virtue always emphasizes the object. And it's a virtue when the object is God. But personal love for the human race has no virtue unless it resides inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all mankind. Now, it is impossible to love God, who is invisible, apart from knowing God. Now, can we know God? Absolutely. God has given us His Word. The Word of God is called the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ. We can know exactly what God's thinking is, what His mind is. He's given us His Word. So, can we know God? The more we know God, the more we love God. He's given us the God-breathed Scriptures. And the more you know the God-breathed Scriptures, the more you will love God. We can know exactly what God is thinking. We can know exactly what He's thinking. He's given us His thinking in the Bible. Now that's different than man. It is very difficult to know what people are thinking. When people say, I love you, well, maybe they do. And maybe they don't. It may be wrapped up in hypocrisy, false motivation, or without any capacity. Therefore, you are easily deceived by people. Therefore, we have been given a command. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is absolutely essential before you establish any permanent relationship with man. Now, that's the way that if everybody was operating on positive volition and growing, that's the way you would go. This would come first. But man is full of bad decisions and free will to make bad decisions. Without the absolute truth of God's Word in your heart, the flaws take over and destroy friendship, romance, marriage. With maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that leads to great capacity. Capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness. We are commanded in the Word of God to love God with personal love. Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 6. And while personal love for God is a command, it's a mandate, personal love for man, friendship, romance, marriage, that's an option. Nowhere in the Word of God are you commanded to have a friend or to have a romance or to get married. God never commands you to get married. But you are commanded to love God the Father and to love the Lord Jesus Christ with personal love. And you are commanded to love all mankind with impersonal love. Impersonal love is motivated by personal love for God and is sustained by consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Impersonal love only functions when the believer is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Impersonal love is one of the last virtues developed in the spiritual life. Impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationships, marriage, friendship, romance. Impersonal love is an unconditional guarantee that all members of the human race will be the recipients of sacred honor, virtue, integrity, without discrimination. Impersonal love manifests tolerance, courtesy, sensitivity, and a relaxed mental attitude to others. Impersonal love is free from mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. And God invented impersonal love to be absolutely unique. He invented it to have tremendous impact in the world. And then we closed last time looking at the principle of impersonal love. And we studied the first 7 points of the principle of impersonal love. Those points: 1, impersonal love is directed to the entire human race. 2, under impersonal love, the whole human race is the beneficiary of your royal family honor code function. That is, you treat all mankind with sacred honor, integrity, and virtue. 3, impersonal love is non-discriminating. 4, impersonal love is free from prejudice. 5, impersonal love is unconditional. 6, impersonal love is non-hypocritical. 7, impersonal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward everyone. That brings us to point 8. We'll start with point 8 this evening. Impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationship problems with people. Impersonal love is the problem-solving device for all personal relationship problems with people. Nine, impersonal love. In impersonal love, no merit is assigned to the object. In impersonal love, no merit is assigned to the object. Ten, you cannot base impersonal love on what people do to you. Make sure you get that down. You cannot base impersonal love on what people do to you. Eleven. Impersonal love does not stop functioning because of the hostile and antagonistic attitude of others. Impersonal love does not stop functioning because of the hostile and antagonistic attitude of others. 12. Impersonal love is directed to both friends and enemies. It doesn't make any difference. Impersonal love is directed to both friends and enemies. Sacred honor, virtue, integrity to your friends. Sacred honor, virtue, integrity toward your enemies. Impersonal love is unconditional love for all mankind. It's directed to both friends and enemies. 13. Impersonal love is the highest form of honor and virtue in human interaction. Impersonal love is the highest form of honor and virtue in human interaction. That's the principle of impersonal love. Now we're going to take a look at the profile of impersonal love, which we could also call the great illustration. The great illustration of impersonal love. So the profile of impersonal love, or the great illustration of impersonal love. Now remember, it's your personal love for God the Father that motivates your impersonal love for all. Personal love for God the Father is the motivational virtue of the spiritual life. Impersonal love for all mankind is the functional virtue of the spiritual life. Now, what is the great illustration? The great illustration is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great illustration. He is our role model. One, the Lord Jesus Christ had virtue love. He had personal love for God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to go to the cross. Motivated him to go to a cross and carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to fulfill Operation Grace. It was the incarnation plan that God the Father had for Jesus Christ. God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ, with infinite personal love for God the Father, said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do it." What motivated Jesus Christ to say, "Yes, sir," to God the Father, "I'll do it"? And you see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. So this really, you really see how fantastic the humility of the God the Son was. He's co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. The Father designed Operation Grace, the cross. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in genuine humility, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." What motivated him to say, "Yes, sir"? His infinite personal love for God the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love for God the Father motivated him to go to the cross and carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace. Two, the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind, every member of the human race, was the functional virtue where he willingly took our place, went to the cross, drank the cup of the sins of the whole world, and bore the judgment of those sins in his body. The Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind, every member of the human race, was the functional virtue where he willingly took our place and went to the cross, drank the cup of the sins of the whole world, and bore the judgment of those sins in his body. This is the profile of virtue love. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, point one, the Lord Jesus Christ's personal love, infinite personal love for God the Father, motivated him to go to the cross and carry out the incarnation plan of the Father, Operation Grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind was the functional virtue where he willingly took our place, went to the cross, drank the cup of the sins of the whole world, and bore the judgment of those sins in his body. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ received great injustice from the human race. He received great injustice from the human race. He received an unfair Jewish trial. He received an unfair Roman trial. He was forsaken by Peter and the disciples. He was humiliated, laughed at, scoffed, ridiculed, spat upon. He was beaten to the point his closest friends could hardly recognize him. He had thorns crushed on his head. Four, however, in spite of all of that injustice, the Lord Jesus Christ picked up his cross and went to Golgotha where he was crucified. However, in spite of all of those injustices, the Lord Jesus Christ picked up his cross and went to Golgotha where he was crucified. Five, impersonal love for all mankind was Jesus Christ picking up his cross and going to Golgotha. Impersonal love for all mankind, the whole human race, was Jesus Christ picking up his cross and going to Golgotha. Six, impersonal love for all mankind was Christ taking our place willingly and being judged for our sins. Impersonal love for all mankind was Christ taking our place willingly and being judged for our sins. Seven, mankind is spiritually dead, totally depraved, the enemy of God, the sinner of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind enabled him to willingly go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. Mankind is spiritually dead, totally depraved, and no damn good. But the Lord Jesus Christ's impersonal love for all mankind enabled him to willingly go to the cross and solve the world's problem of sin. That's the profile or the great illustration of virtue love. Jesus Christ is our role model. That brings us to the integrity of impersonal love. The integrity of impersonal love. One, impersonal love for all is the believer functioning by the Royal Family Honor Code. Impersonal love for all is the believer functioning by the Royal Family Honor Code. Two, impersonal love is the functional virtue of grace righteousness. And this is where we are in 1 John 3:10b. The Apostle John shows the relationship of grace, righteousness, and impersonal love for all. Anyone who does not do righteousness, produce grace, righteousness, sacred honor, integrity, virtue, he absolutely is not a student or disciple of God. Nor is anyone a student or disciple of God who does not love his fellow believer with impersonal love. He provides the relationship of grace, righteousness, and impersonal love for all. Three, impersonal love is manifesting sacred honor, virtue, integrity, thoughtfulness, grace function to all. Impersonal love is manifesting sacred honor, virtue, integrity, thoughtfulness, grace function to all. Four. Impersonal love never loves people because of who and what they are. Impersonal love never loves people because of who and what they are. But rather, it is the function of one's grace righteousness, royal family honor code, virtue integrity, regardless of what people are. Doesn't make any difference what people are. Impersonal love never loves people because of who and what they are, but rather it is the function of one's grace righteousness, royal family honor code, virtue, integrity, regardless of what they are. That brings us to the source of impersonal love. The source of impersonal love. One, the source of impersonal love is the spiritual life. It's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. This is what John is saying in 1 John 2:5 and all throughout 1 John. Mano, 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 abide in him. Live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. That was 1 John 2:5. 1 John 2:5. I have already. See how many notes I've already gone through? If anyone keeps on observing, fulfilling, obeying the word of God, then the love of God, virtue love, has truly been brought to completion in his heart. And by this virtue love being brought to completion in your heart, by this we know that we are abiding, manowing in him. That we are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. The source of impersonal love, the source is the spiritual life. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. That's point one. Under source of impersonal love, point one, the source of impersonal love is the spiritual life. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Two, spiritual skill number one is the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit is agape. The fruit of the Spirit is agape. 8:18 Agape. Virtue love. Now there's a whole list there, but the in the Greek, when you have a list, the very first word summarizes all the rest of. All the rest are a part of that first word. The first word is the key to all the rest. The fruit of the Spirit is agape, virtue love. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. All of the rest are a part of virtue love. So spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is agape, virtue love. Three, spiritual skill number two is consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. You consistently and faithfully assemble in a sound doctrinal church and feed on the truth of the Word of God. Believe it, learn it, believe it, metabolize it, and now it's in your heart. 1 Peter 1:22. Turn over to 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Verse 22, since you have, by means of obedience to the truth, this is hearing the teaching of the Word of God, believing the teaching of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, and then from your free will, you obey the absolute truth of the Word of God. Since you, by means of obedience to the truth, have purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren, therefore fervently love one another from the heart. By means of obedience to the truth, that's how you purify your soul. What is that? We studied that last night. Last night, grace perspicacity. Now you know perspicacity. You're all in there now. Grace perspicacity includes two communicators. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, communicating the logos of the Word of God, eisegetically, categorically, exegetically, and then you assemble, fill with the Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit takes that communication from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and he teaches you logos, he teaches your human spirit, and logos becomes pneumaticos. 1 Corinthians 2:13. The Holy Spirit teaches your human spirit, and that logos communicated by the pastor becomes spiritual phenomena, pneumaticos, which enters into the mind, and you comprehend it. You know it. It's gnosis, but it's gnosis is no damn good unless you believe it. So now your free will goes into operation. You can believe it or reject it. If you reject it, it does you no good. If you believe it, it goes into your heart, cardia, and that's the target for the Word of God. Here you have these Bibles in your lap. The target, grace perspicacity, God has a grace plan to get the absolute truth of the Bible in your lap into your heart, and it's grace all the way. Two communicators, and they work together, not independently, together. They work together. They're not working together, you're not going anywhere. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher, teaching the logos, the Word of God, eisegetically, categorically, exegetically. And then you assemble, make sure you're filled with the Spirit, then God the Holy Spirit takes that logos and teaches your human spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13, it becomes pneumaticos, spiritual phenomena, spiritual truth that you comprehend. Now it's gnosis. Pastor Olson, I comprehend what you are. I understand what you're teaching, Pastor Olson. Now your free will goes into effect. Either you believe it or you reject it. If you reject it, you go nowhere. If you believe it, it goes into your heart, and that is the target for the Word of God. And that is grace perspicacity. And that's what we have here in 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have by means of obedience to the truth purified your souls for an unhypocritical love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. And turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Now, concerning brotherly love or impersonal love for the royal family of God, for all the royal family, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God. This is one of the communicators in grace perspicacity. Two communicators. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, teaching the Logos, you're here filled with the Spirit, then God the Holy Spirit takes that and teaches your human spirit. And that's what we have here. So it becomes spiritual phenomena, spiritual truth, that then you comprehend and now you have the opportunity to believe. Now, concerning brotherly love, impersonal love for all the royal family. We do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God, grace perspicacity, to love one another. And in fact, you do love all the royal family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Keep growing. Keep advancing. Impersonal love is manufactured by the filling of the Spirit. Spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, and by spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Two essential communicators, the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, combines with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This is grace perspicacity. Impersonal love is the application of Bible doctrine to people. It is motivated by personal love for God the Father. And therefore, you will never be able to function with impersonal love for people unless you first of all have personal love for God. This is true whether you're talking about a marriage or a family, or a business, or a local church, or friendship, any personal relationship. Principle. You cannot have mental attitude sins, hate, jealousy, anger, or sins of the tongue, judging, slander, maligning, gossip toward people, and love God, or have impersonal love for people. You cannot have mental attitude sins such as hate, jealousy, anger, bitterness, or sins of the tongue such as judging, slander, maligning, gossip toward people and love God or have impersonal love for people. Now, that brings us to impersonal love has a direct relationship to reconciliation. Reconciliation, which is the removal of barriers in human relationships. When you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, your personal love for God the Father will motivate you to have impersonal love for all and remove barriers in human relationships. Turn over to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start at verse 12. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's elected ones, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. What's that? Put on the uniform of honor. The royal family honor code. Put on the uniform of honor. Sacred honor. Clothe yourselves with the uniform of the royal family honor code, with compassion, grace orientation, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, virtue love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. This is the last time there with A. Rainey. This is peace, reconciliation. All right, a couple of things on this. This is a fantastic verse. Already taught Colossians, and it's taken me so long to teach Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and I don't think I'm going to go back and teach them again. In heaven, but not here. One of the great blessings of impersonal love for all is reconciliation. One of the great blessings of impersonal love for all is reconciliation. Two, reconciliation is the removal of barriers in human relationships. The removal of barriers in human relationships. In our passage, Colossians 3, 12 to 15, it is point three, it is forgiving as the Lord forgave you. It is forgiving as the Lord forgave you. Four, it is grace function, kindness, humility, tolerance, and patience. It is grace function, kindness, humility, tolerance, and patience. Five, it is bearing with each other and forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. It is bearing with each other and forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. This is our passage, Colossians 3, 12 to 15. All of these fantastic concepts combining and relating impersonal love for all with reconciliation, the removal of barriers in human relationships. It is bearing with each other and forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. Six, in Colossians 3, verse 15, peace is used in this passage as a technical term for reconciliation. That's the context of the passage. In Colossians 3:15, peace is used in this passage as a technical term for reconciliation. So seven, impersonal love manifests peace, reconciliation, the removing of barriers in human relationships. Impersonal love manifests peace or reconciliation, the removing of barriers in human relationships. Now, when you're living in the cosmic system, you do the opposite. When you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you build barriers. You build barriers. You have mental attitude sins of hate, anger, bitterness. You have sins of the tongue. You judge, you malign, you slander, you gossip. You build barriers between people. That just simply says you're just shouting to the world, I'm living in Satan's cosmic system. I'm walking in darkness. I'm not living in light. I'm not walking in the light. I have no spiritual life. I have no virtue love brought to completion in my heart. I am Well, I can't even see God, let alone know Him. You're too involved in interlocking systems of arrogance, selfish, self-centered, thinking about me, 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 or interlocking systems of hatred, antagonism toward others, other members of the royal family, or other members of anybody. You have hatred, and you're just simply shouting that I'm living my life in Satan's cosmic system. I'm a disciple of the devil, but I'm not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see how unique this is? And when you have believers, and there are some, and we have some in here, who live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have virtue, love brought to completion in their heart, you have phenomenal impact. Phenomenal impact. And the world sees it because they never see this kind of thing. They never see this kind of thing today. All you see is cosmic system function today. Every day in the news. All you see is cosmic system function. Interlocking systems of arrogance. Interlocking systems of hatred. You almost never see virtue love. Impersonal love for all. You see people building barriers. But how many times do you see people removing barriers? And loving all mankind unconditionally. With sacred honor and virtue and integrity. Well, you almost never see it. But when you do, wow! In the middle of the darkness, and the United States of America is in darkness, but in the middle of that darkness, a spotlight. What's that song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's it. I hope that's true of each one of you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, it will shine. And it'll be seen by the world and it'll have tremendous impact. Tremendous impact. Now we're going to get into impersonal love and marriage. But that we will save for next time. Impersonal love and marriage. This might take us till Christmas. But the Bible has a lot to say, and this is very, very important. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.